Credit offer subject to credit approval and can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
This is WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton.
A Radio.com sports station.
Home of the Miami Dolphins, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida Panthers.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Canes will hold their spring game tomorrow at Camping World Stadium in Orlando starting at noon. The Manny Diaz era officially kicks off when the U takes on the Florida Gators. The Marlins begin a three-game homestand tonight against the Washington Nationals. The Fish are a league worst, 4-5. In contrast, Florida's other major league team, the Tampa Bay Rays, have the best record in the bigs at 14-5. The 23rd-ranked Canes baseball team had a six-game win streak snap last night when they fell to the 8th-ranked Louisville Cardinals 5-7 in Kentucky. They look to rebound from the loss this afternoon in Game 2 of the three-game series. Round 1 of the NFL Draft is slated for Thursday. The Dolphins are scheduled to pick 13th overall, with some experts predicting they'll take Alabama O-lineman Jonah Williams. Follow us exclusively on Draft Day and see where we'll be by going to WQAM.com. The NBA playoffs continue tonight when the Raptors and Magic battle for control of their 1-1 series. Then the Celtics square off against the Pacers, followed by the Blazers taking on the Thunder. Both the Celtics and Blazers lead their series 2-0. In NHL playoff action, tonight just two games on the slate. A rubber match in the 2-2 series between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins, and the Avalanche look to close out the Flames. Now on to weather, brought to you by Hialeah Park. Today will be cloudy with a slight chance of rain and temperatures in the 80s. Play Run for the Money and win up to $3,000 at Miami's most beautiful simulcasting center. Champions at Hialeah Park. I'm Dan Day, and back now to the Hawkman and Crowder Show right here on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM.
Second most famous person out of Gainesville after you, Tom Petty.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Petty in my life.
5 o'clock. Oh, those bars in Gainesville. I mean, that's got to be on constant loop.
And when you want to keep the party going back at your place, you got to put the Petty on. Come on, ladies, we like him too.
5 o'clock hour on Hawkman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Look at that. On a Friday, it sounds even better, doesn't it?
Bro, I'm going to put some Funky Buddha down this weekend.
Manhattan Double Rye Ale.
Oh, it's delicious.
Cosmic Journey Hazy IPA.
I got to go get more because I ate, what I drink, 18 of them. I think we had three. I got a case and a half early this week.
When, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, like celebrity endorsements, and there are obvious sellouts where, you know, people, you could tell that they don't use the product and whatnot. Crowder loves Funky Buddha. That's no lie.
I think I forced him into letting me endorse him. They were like, this dude loves
They didn't even
stuff.
Need any help because you were keeping them exceeding expectations in business. Yeah, that is a genuine love of Funky Buddha.
That was one of the first craft beer places that I fell in love with when that craft thing blew up.
And you love that.
Oh, my goodness. Hop Gun started it, and now they have, the Cosmic Journey IPA is awesome, too.
Woo. All right. Well, let's kick off this Funky Buddha happy hour with our friend Clay Ferrero. He is on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. He is a sports anchor and reporter at Local 10. And we like doing our Ferrero side chats with him. We just kind of go around the. Now, are you doing the sports tonight on Local 10?
I am, actually. I am. And unfortunately for me, it's not actually after 5 o'clock like it is for you guys. So you guys are getting into it a little early.
Right. Like. And you're probably what? You go at 11 o'clock tonight, too?
Yeah, but no, 4, 5, 6, and 11. So this is kind of like my 10 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, the whole 5 o'clock somewhere thing doesn't apply to us.
Because I know it's 5:02 right now. What time are you on TV on Channel 10?
Well, technically, I'm supposed to be on here in about 15 minutes. But for those of you that have heard us on here before, sports is the first thing to die in a local news newscast when you have big stories. So I'm already being told to be on standby, but I'm probably not actually going to be on. So, which is cool for me because then we can just start playing around doing stuff for the draft for next week.
Hey, Clay, I've heard guys that have the morning shows on radio talking about, Hawks told me, it just messes up your whole life, like messes up all your time. Working that late at night, like what's your
especially
schedule?
Especially on like a Friday night.
Yeah, I'm saying like you don't get out till 11. Like, do you go drinking at midnight? Because then you look like an alcoholic a little bit. Like, what's your schedule when you work that late?
Yeah, it's midnight somewhere, right? No, like, fortunately, I was about to say unfortunately, man, if it, on the pod, when you guys put this down streaming later, you got to erase where I almost said unfortunately. Fortunately, I have a beautiful wife and three beautiful young children at home who love to wake me up at 6:30 in the morning, and fortunately, the partying days are far in the rearview mirror, because when you have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old at home, they make your schedule more than work does.
When they say that you're on standby and that you might lose the sports, you mean like totally in the 5 o'clock news block?
In the 5 o'clock, yeah. 6 o'clock will probably be in there because we're messing around a little bit with the Pat Riley LA Lakers stuff that was out there this morning on ESPN, and kind of, you know, being the heat station for when they're actually on major networks now, which doesn't happen so much anymore. But, you know, we tend to follow the heat stuff really closely, so we're going to make sure to get that in probably around 6 o'clock. But for the 5 o'clock, we're just kind of like, all right, well, we're here if you need us. Otherwise, we're going to be hiding in the edit bay and pretend.
All right, well, let me know if you need to go. Speaking of the Pat Riley stuff, so Stephen A. Smith this morning, you know, he talked about the Lakers maybe wanting Pat Riley to take over as their president of operations. And we know that at his season-ending press conference, he said that he – now, here, I will say this, though. Clay Ferraro is with us from Local 10. We had Ira on around 4 o'clock, and he said, yeah, he's not interested. We all watched the press conference. And I said, but what if they really have aspirations of having Pat Riley there and they make it so it's impossible for him to at least summarily dismiss it, where they give him John Gruden-like, you know, deal where you've got a percentage of the team and, it, you know, like, I mean, they could put some sort of pressure on, right?
Well, I would think so. I mean, there's always money rules everything, right, at some point. But you know, and he's got the place out in Malibu that he spent a lot of time out there. I just think, guys, with as competitive as he is, I think, and my favorite thing, by the way, about Pat Riley news conferences is when you hear what he say, he also leaves a little bit of guesswork out there. And one thing that he said that I found really interesting was when he said why they put together a team that they felt could compete in the short term after LeBron left, and he didn't want to say exactly why that was. Well, I think the reason why that was he really wanted to beat LeBron. He wanted to show LeBron that, hey, you left here, and we put together a team that could take you down in Cleveland. So now fast forward, and I still think even though that relationship between him and LeBron, it seems like the waters have been smoothed over a little bit, I still think there's a part of Riley that would love to beat him and would much more, it'd be a lot more likely that he would stay here and hope that the Heat would kind of emerge from whatever this purgatory is that they're in before the Lakers emerge from their own purgatory. And so, yes, I do think there would be something that Jeannie Buss could offer that would at least intrigue him. But I think he wants to undo this mess that is here right now with the salary cap situation and all that, prove that he can because he is competitive. And I think he'd rather do that than go and join forces with LeBron once again.
Hey, Clay, I don't want to disrespect Riley's the godfather. We all know that. But with Wade retiring, this franchise kind of resetting, wouldn't this be the time for a very easy divorce from Riley?
Oh, I think it would be. And I also think, Channing, look, the more that we've looked back over the last few years, I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, that big three coming together was so much more about Dwayne Wade than anyone else. And Dwayne Wade being able to go out there and recruit and built a bond with LeBron and Chris Bosh, that I don't think the last few years erases the good that Pat Riley has done here. And he's made this in many ways a winning town around the Miami Heat. And he deserves a ton of credit for that. But yes, to your point, it would be a decent time, I guess, if there is such a thing for a divorce. But I also think people are willing to give him a little bit of time to fix this. And he's the first to admit, as hard as Heat fans are on Pat Riley, nobody's harder on Pat Riley right now than Pat Riley. And I think he wants to get this thing fixed. They're not pretending like this is okay. they want to fix this and they want to do it as quickly as possible, but I think they're also weighing that versus we don't want to just be 4th seed in the East good. We may have to be a little patient and wait this thing out.
Clay Ferrero is with us, a Ferrero side chat on a Friday, if you will. You can watch him on Local 10 this evening. Let me shift gears to the Dolphins here. You were out at the voluntary camp this week?
Yes, sir.
And did you notice a difference in the tenor of the camp just because of the regime change and Brian Flores being in charge versus Adam Gase the last 3 seasons?
It's so hard to tell with minicamp. I mean, when Adam Gase came here, I think the initial response that we heard from the players was, oh, it's a lot more fun. We're moving a lot faster. There's a lot more sense of urgency. So, you know, I don't think that was going to be ramped up with Brian Flores. I think the one thing that we all noticed was first day his news conference was supposed to start at 10:45. He walked in at 10:40. And we're not even used to things being on time, much less early. And as the days went on, that became a theme. And we talked to Dwayne Allen yesterday, and he said, yeah, with the one thing that you learn very quickly with Brian Flores is if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're forgotten. So the one thing I'll say about him is they're focusing a ton on minute details, and that's one of them. Communication is another one of them. And he said, this is a teaching camp. We're not out here to install our exotics. We're out here to kind of go back to basics and teach. So, I think it's kind of hard at what he calls a teaching camp to come on and say, yes, there's such an increased sense of urgency. It's them against the world, blah, blah, blah. No, they're really, truly going back to teaching. Although I will say this, everybody there hates the word tanking. They don't want to hear it. They don't want it discussed. They're sick and tired of hearing about that, as you would expect.
And Clay, one of the other stories out of OTAs was Rashad Jones not showing up to OTAs. Do you have a problem with a 9-year veteran, multi-time Pro Bowler not coming to voluntary OTAs?
I think we all have to try to understand what the circumstances of it are. And he's posting videos on his Instagram account working out, so he seems to be okay. At the same time, we do understand that he had the shoulder injury last year, and we do understand that there was the Miami Herald report that at some point they are going to look to move on, whether it's this offseason or next offseason. So, you know, in general, I think you want all the guys there, but Channing, as you know, you can't just make generalities about specific situations. There are always things that are going into this. As great as Rashad Jones has been here, given his age and where this program, this franchise is right now, I don't think that when the Dolphins are good again, I think it's more likely than not that he's not going to be a part of that, and because I think it's going to take a couple of years. And by then, he will have either moved on or he'll be, you know, either on the backside of his prime or beyond his prime. So for all those reasons, yeah, typically you'd like to have everybody there, especially with a new coach, but this is certainly not a typical situation.
How did Ryan Fitzpatrick look to you physically?
Fine. Good. I mean, he was making all the jokes about, you know, hey, I ate all this birthday cake. I got 6 kids, 7 kids, and they all had birthday parties, and they all happened to be in March and April. And so we have cake on March 1st and cake on March 5th. So he was joking around about it. I don't care if anybody comes into camp, especially a quarterback looking a little more like me on in April than the chiseled NFL veteran that you would hope. I mean, it's a quarterback, and it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, and people are looking more at his beard than they are at, you know, whether or not he's in shape.
So I'm looking at a Will Manso tweet where you were photoshopped having Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard while standing next to Ryan Fitzpatrick. First of all, you tower over Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's a big dude.
I was kind of surprised by that, actually. I think there may have been a little, not photoshopping, but I think the angle may have changed that. But yeah, I got long legs and a short torso. So you see me on TV, I look like I'm like 5'2", but in actuality, I'm actually like 7'8". I'm like Yao Ming.
But how tall are you? I've been around you. You're a tall dude. How tall are you?
I'm about 6'4" in reality, but when I'm up there, I don't look like it. But yeah. Physically, does it really matter? I mean, as long as he's out there throwing the ball around and getting the ball to the guys that he needs to get the ball to, do we really care if he looks a little soft in March and April?
No.
No. We got to get ready.
I mean, I don't.
Got to get ready for the season. It's crazy, Clay. You say you have long legs and a short torso. I'm the opposite, yeah, bro. I got these little beady-ass legs and a long-ass torso. I call myself a big midget.
That's like the ultimate oxymoron, right?
So you're okay using that word now?
You told me I was
years,
okay.
For years, you would just, you would start to shake at the word midget.
Only I cuss a lot off air. The only time I've ever got in trouble on air was about 8 years ago when I said midget, and a program director ran in and looked at me like I was crazy, so I got ran away.
Would you
from
feel
it.
Comfortable saying midget on Local 10, Clay?
Probably not, but look, here's what I love about being on with you guys. I feel like we're buddies here, and so sometimes we forget that we're actually on the radio and people are actually, we feel like it's the three of us talking. So, you know, something like that comes out, and it's like, oh, I forget that there are microphones in front of us. It's like at least seven people are listening to the radio, right? That's your ratings? Like, you guys get like 5 to 7 people.
We have like a 0.2, and actually that's number of listeners, 0.2.
It's probably a midget.
So that's like my right foot, my right shin to my foot.
I have short legs, a short torso, and man boobs. What does that mean to you?
It means you're probably in line to be the next Dolphins starting quarterback.
I feel like that might be my future. I think you might be right. All right. Well, there you go. How are you going to cover the NFL draft on Local 10? Are you guys going to be out in Nashville?
Will is. Will's heading up there. He gets all the fun assignments. But he's actually a lot more into this than I am this year because he's a big Giants fan, and they have 2 picks in the first round. And I am, at my heart, I follow the Saints because I was born in Louisiana. They didn't even have a first-round pick. So he can go and have fun and cry when they draft Daniel Jones, who I know he's not thrilled about.
All right. Are they going to have a sports report? It's 5:15. Is Channel 10 going to have Clay Ferraro on this hour?
You know what? Hang with me for a second. I'm going to walk over to what we call our rundown. I was floated, which is the industry term for saying we don't want you on TV unless...
I've been floated a number of times at bars and clubs by women. I got waitlisted.
I was about to ask you to clarify that. Waitlisted? So what does that mean if like 5?
I'll get back to you. Yeah, if no one else comes up to me in the next 3-4 months, I'll get back to you.
Waitlisted is the greatest example I have ever. I've never heard that explanation.
Yeah, people they go, oh, I was waitlisted at college. Oh, I've been waitlisted at parties. I mean, waitlisted, that means nothing to me. That's
so what happens with that? Do you offer to buy a girl a drink and then she says, well, come back to me in like 3 hours, and if
yeah, you know, it's like, hey, what's your name, or what are you doing here? Oh, I'll let you know in a little while, maybe. Where are you going to be? You'll be over there. All right, and then I go, okay, I got waitlisted by Sheila over there, and I'll be over
know,
here.
Man. You gotta have some self-respect. Like, they won't even tell you their name. You're that far back.
At 49, my self-respect went out the window years and years ago, Clay.
And with the moobs.
And the moobs. I mean, really, how could you have any self-respect?
I change diapers more now than I do anything else. So the whole self-respect thing is gone. I have my 2-year-old sitting there looking at me this morning going, poopsie daisy, poopsie daisy. I'm like, seriously, how did you make this up?
We talked yesterday. Crowder asked me, would I rather have a threesome or hit a three-team parlay? And it's not even a question for me. I want to hit that three-team parlay.
This is when we know that we are getting older.
So are we going to see you on Local 10 this hour?
Let's see. If we're going back to your – I am now waitlisted. At this point, I am waitlisted at the community college down the road. if we're trying to,
all right.
if we're trying to,
who took all your airtime? Who took your airtime?
Let's see. I think I'm going to blame Nicole Perez, who is actually in Italy. I'm going to blame her because she probably went long. So we'll blame Nicole. I'm going to have to tag her on Twitter to let her know that I called her out.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible. Yeah. All right.
Hawk and Crowder asked why I wasn't on TV.
tell her we're very disappointed, but we'll watch you in the 6 o'clock hour. What time will sports be in the 6 o'clock hour?
6:20.
All right. And you'll have all the latest on Pat Riley to L.A.
Yeah, but I mean, it's no more than we just said. Should we pretend it's a bigger deal than
it's a bunch of nonsense. No. All right.
We gotta be real with people.
Clay Ferrero, you'll see him on Local 10 sometimes when he's not being waitlisted.
if
you may see Juwan Strader if he is. All right, Clay, have a great weekend.
Now you move me to another network?
I don't know where Juwan Strader is. I was trying to come up with it. Elliot Rodriguez. Who's on Local 10?
Well, we know Betty Davis is because Channing thought that they came out with the song.
That is true. That is true.
Damn, Betty Davis is famous.
Yahtzee. Is Yahtzee on there?
Yes. Yes, Yahtzee's my man.
All right.
Yes.
Well, there you go. All right. See you, Clay.
Take care.
Clay Ferrero, Local 10.
Yahtzee, beautiful skin.
Eric Yahtzee.
Oh, beautiful skin. Oh, he gets me every time. Certain things, man. Beautiful skin.
All right.
Steve Spurrier and
Steve Spurrier doesn't have beautiful skin.
No. His eyelashes. And Jimmy Johnson.
Really?
Jimmy Johnson's eyelashes are 3 inches long. Next time you see Jimmy, he has beautiful eyelashes.
Really?
It's little things about people get to me.
Steve Spurrier.
His eyelashes, him and Jimmy Johnson, their eyelashes just jump out to you. Huh. Beautiful eyelashes, like a horse.
In the next segment, we're going to talk to one of our favorite guests. His name is George Shea. He is the commissioner of Major League Eating.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. This guy, Major League Eating, they're having a hot dog. You know, they have the 4th of July hot dog eating contest, Coney Island, every year on July 4th. It's on ESPN. They have a qualifying event tomorrow at Marlins Park before the Marlins game. And yesterday we talked to one of the guys that's competing tomorrow, Pablo Martinez. But George Shea, this guy, am I lying? He is captivating.
Passionate.
Passionate.
I love
about
his passion.
Food,
yes.
And Major League Eating. So George Shea, the commissioner of Major League Eating. You do not want to miss it. He is next. So tomorrow at Marlins Park, the top male and top female finishers in this qualifier will qualify for a seat at Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest on Coney Island. July 4th, like I said, it's on ESPN, and the reigning champions are Joey Chestnut in the male division and Mickey Sudo in the female division, and George Shea is the commissioner of Major League Eating. I believe are you the founder as well, George?
Yes, I mean, it's a very august title, and I sometimes go by chairman.
Chairman as well. That's impressive for whatever you do, right? If you're the chairman of anything?
Yes, well, you know, and unless it's your block association, which is not quite as powerful, but we are an international organization, as you know, and but this is the big one. We're starting on the road to Coney Island, big event at Marlins Park, and I'm very excited because this means spring is here. You guys are in, you know, paradise, but I've been in, you know, just a horrible gray cold winter. So we're just turning the corner now. And summer's on the way.
Are you going to be in town tomorrow night, or someone else hosts the festivities?
It will be hosted by the great Sam Barclay, who's actually a Miami resident, so it makes it very easy.
Okay, and so the qualifier tomorrow, and again, Badlands Booker, like everyone that's on the stage at the 4th of July one on ESPN has qualified somewhere, right?
Yeah. In fact, what happens is, they end up traveling all around the nation because they don't always win. And what they try to do is, you know, game it out like, Badlands is going to say to himself, where do I go that I win? I don't have to go to four events. But what happens is they end up traveling all around on the circuit, getting that seat on the fourth. Pablo Martinez, a very, very good eater. Badlands, of course, one of the greatest eaters of all time, a veteran, 20 years. By the way, Badlands, and I'm sure you guys have spent a lot of time on this YouTube channel, Badlands has Badlands Chugs. He's a chugging guy, and his YouTube channel is blowing up. But that's just to point out that he's a multi-discipline athlete.
George, multimedia star.
Is there any surprises? Because like we were talking to Pablo yesterday, and he was saying how he's at 30, he's trying to get to 35, but we know that Joey Chestnut's going 60 or 70. Is there any surprises during the hot dog eating contest?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You have a situation where there's a dominant athlete in any sport or a dominant team, And it is at once great and really you're watching history, but then you also want to see him beaten, right? And I, to be completely honest, I thought Carmen Sincotti could beat Joey last year. He ate 65, Joey ate 75 or whatever, 74, whatever it was. And so clearly not an amazing performance by Carmen, you know, just enormous, but not good enough to beat Joey. I don't see Joey necessarily being beaten this year unless something untoward happens, you know, like if he has a, you know, jawthritis or a bad tooth or something.
I'm sorry, jawthritis?
Jawthritis is a very, very serious disability in our world.
I imagine.
That's when you get, like, pain in the back of your jaw when you open it, and it has ended many a career.
Oh, man, I can imagine. That's like a torn ACL, I guess, in football.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
George Shea, he is the commissioner of Major League Eating. Big qualifier tomorrow night, Marlins Park, 5 p.m., Pablo Martinez. He's a ranked eater. He'll be there. Now, I'm imagining, as commissioner, you need to be, you play the middle. You can't have a favorite or whatnot. But what do you say to a guy? I imagine you're almost like a father figure for a lot of the eaters. What do you say to a guy like a Pablo Martinez who's busting his ass to try to down 30 hot dogs and buns, and then you got a guy, like you said, like Joey Chestnut, who's knocking down 74. How do you keep Pablo Martinez interested in continuing to do what he's doing?
Well, you know, at some juncture, Joey's not going to be there. You know, Joey is significantly older than Pablo, or enough older that you know, that way he will not eat forever. But I think, you know, the interesting thing is, what I don't think Pablo is going for number one in the world necessarily. He wants to go to that number one contest, which is Nathan's on July 4 in Coney Island. Being on that stage, being on ESPN, that is something that is just monumental. So I think I would actually guess that his true thinking is, I want to beat out the rest of these 40 people who want to go to the 4th of July, or, you know, there are many, many more than that, but contenders, and get to the 4th of July versus thinking he can beat Joey. And when he's there, he has gotten his reward, right? But, you know, it is a very, very hard fought sort of, the road to Coney Island is not easy for these guys.
And, George, I wanted to ask you, as the commissioner, it just popped up in my mind, with other sports you have disciplinary actions, like a guy gets a DUI, he has to miss 4 games in the league and all the disciplinary actions. As the commissioner of the MLE, if a guy gets a DUI or an assault charge leading up to one of your events, do you have to suspend him?
Well, you know, we have a clause, I believe, and you'd think the chairman would know this exactly, but the chairman, it can be a little lax. But we have a clause that I think it's sort of there's a legal phrase for it, meaning you're operating within the boundaries of society in the correct way or some whatever the there's a whole thing. So if someone were to do something that was completely inappropriate or illegal, I believe that we have not only the ability but the obligation not to put them on stage. We have had several incidents which I really won't go into. But there were several incidents where people did some stuff and they couldn't compete. So, but it's very, very rare. I think it's rare more or less in all sports, but I mean, relative to the numbers of people competing. But we've had our incidents.
George Shea is the commissioner of Major League Eating. Now, do you find that you get this? I know I get this when we have you on. As somebody texts in, this guy can't be serious. And that is what, a passive-aggressive text to kind of say, hey, you sound like you're taking nonsense food eating a little too seriously. Now, again, that, it insults me, and I'm not even attached to Major League Eating. Is that one of the fights that you constantly have to fight, that, hey, this is a sport, and we're an organization that, to be quite honest, has lasted a hell of a lot longer than, what, the AAF and a lot of upstart leagues?
It's a very well said. That last part really hits it on the target. Here's the thing: it is so patronizing for people to do that and to try to marginalize us, right? And to shame us in a way, right? As if suddenly you couldn't be serious. This is one of the most fundamental sports you can do. Tell me something that's more fundamental than eating, right? That there just doesn't exist. And this goes to the very heart of who we are as a human being, as an animal. And so there's no doubt that it's one of the most historic and elegant sports there is. But this happens all the time where people say, I don't believe you're a sport, so you're not, right? And that, you can imagine the frustration of the people in the Olympics who run around with the ribbons, right? They probably get the same thing, or curling.
Right. You know, some people, no, but you know, the ribbons is a good example. They're running around and they're fluttering ribbons in the air, and people would probably go, what is that? That's nonsense. But that is very similar in some sort of allegorical way, which I don't think is the correct word, to competitive eating.
It's true. And you know what strikes me, and I said that in a way, and when I see them running around, questions begin popping into my mind. I admit that. But you know, the what really is the parallel between those two is the elegance of the sport, the beauty of the ribbon going through the air, and the beauty of Joey balling up four hot dogs into an enormous soft ball of food and dropping it down that gullet of his. That's the real parallel there. And that's what people don't understand. Some people don't understand the beauty, the inherent beauty of the sport when these men and women are eating. But I am always captivated by it.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I maintained, I even said to Pablo Martinez yesterday, when I went to see Badlands Booker compete at the qualifier last year, I didn't see elegance. I saw bits of bun on his shirt, and I saw people sweating out of areas. I didn't know that you had perspiration ducts. And now that you describe it, though, I do see the elegance, and you're 100% correct, and I will no longer talk about Badlands and what I witnessed, and really, I thought it was like a horror show, but it wasn't. Now that you explain it was elegance.
Yeah, and you know what the interesting thing is? It's like someone who views a piece of contemporary art, or even a piece of modern art, and some of the stuff that's sort of geometric abstraction and just sort of paint movement and stuff like that. And they go, I could do that. Well, no, you couldn't. And I think what you're saying here now is, at first you're sort of dismissing it, but then you realize that it's like watching Picasso paint. And that's really what we're talking about here. And I agree that, you know, it's an acquired appreciation. I will tell you this, there's nothing, you're on stage, Nathan's Coney Island, 4th of July, High Noon. There couldn't be anything else because that is, you know, that is a moment in our culture, in our calendar year, that represents so much more. And that's also what this is all about.
And hearing y'all talk about the competitive eating like a sport, what are those staple events like the Michael Jordan flu game in the NBA, or the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game, Kobe 60-point finish?
Great question.
What are those events in Major League Eating?
The ones you'll never forget.
Well, look, you do go all the way back to the 20s. There was an enormous rivalry, and there was apparently an elbow that got him in the gut. But that's only what came to me through legend. Clearly, Kobayashi competing against Joey, Kobayashi, when he had actually jawthritis, right, competing despite that, was just, he lost on that cup, but he competed, was like, is it Willis Reed or whatever, walking onto the,
yes,
the court. You know, but he competed no matter what. Joey, when his fiance, and I don't want to get, I'm getting myself choked up. Joey's fiance broke it off 2 weeks before the 4th of July. He was devastated.
Wow.
He was heartbroken.
Now, I did not know this. Is this public?
Yeah. Yeah, it's public. I shouldn't be talking about it, but I always do. He was brokenhearted. And he lost that year to Matt Stoney, and it was
the one upset year. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize the backstory there.
No, he had been engaged to his fiance on stage the year prior, so he got down on his knee after he won.
Oh my God!
And he proposed to his girlfriend, and for whatever reason, it got broken off, and he just got up there, broken heart, went forward. Failed, then came back, and that was that narrative that you guys are talking about. But you know, we can't talk forever. I know, so I don't want to forget. You guys are going to get an enormous kick out of this. ESPN is doing a 30 for 30 on the contest. Kobayashi, Joey, and me / MLE, like talking about the rivalry, and it's going into Tribeca Film Fest, I believe, next week. But you guys, if you come across it, you're going to get a huge kick, because I am the villain. I'm like the worst. Like I'm like Vince McMahon meets whoever. I'm the bad guy.
So let me ask you this. I'm guessing you're portrayed as the bad guy because you will not allow Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut to face off again because Kobayashi will not sign an exclusive contract with Major League Eating.
Yes, essentially. But, you know, it goes beyond that in this documentary, and I haven't seen the final version, but I was watching it. I was going, oh, my God. It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Hungry. And Kobayashi's the good, Joey's the hungry, and there's no doubt I'm bad. So you guys are going to, when you look at it, you're going to go, George, because the way they, that's the last time he comes on our air.
No. I mean, listen, through thick and thin, I consider you to be one of the great American heroes because you were able to foster what I think is one of the great American sports moments of our time is when Joey Chestnut took the mustard belt.
Yeah, and that is the subject of this documentary, which is actually really quite interesting, and I think people will find it fascinating. And they talk about the rivalry, and then they talk about this back and forth with us. But they've got, you know, when Joey holds the belt up in 07, that is a moment like none other. What really captured my appreciation for this whole thing. The 4th of July is always it for me. But when I first started going out on the circuit about 20 years ago, it would have been 21 years ago, to Las Vegas and all around and doing these circuit events gearing up to the 4th, that's when I felt that America was fully engaged, right? Like you're really part of that American landscape. And that's what we're doing now. That's where we're going now. So it's always very exciting.
Well, George Shea, it's an absolute pleasure, right? I'm not speaking out of turn,
no,
Crowder.
And no damn 30 for 30 could break our bond, George.
How true. Truer words have never been spoken on this show.
Listen, that's what you got my back. I appreciate that. When you see it, we can revisit it.
Well, okay, that's fair. I do reserve the right.
No, George, I'm with you.
I mean, there could be skeletons in the closet that we just have no idea about.
ESPN is going to manipulate the information.
We don't know. I mean, George Shea could be some sort of agent of Kim Jong-un, and it all gets exposed in this 30 for 30. You've seen the finished product?
Mueller is free. We'll get him on this. No, it wasn't ESPN. ESPN, they're like, look, they love it. They're putting it in the they're putting it in the Tribeca Film Fest. So anyway,
but
anyway.
You've seen the finished product.
I don't know that I saw the final version. I saw one, and I was sort of going, uh oh, wish I hadn't said that.
Do you think it might be a moment where it's when you have that momentary awakening where you say, maybe I haven't been the best George Shea I could be?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope not.
I'm a different kind of guy. I'm thinking like, okay, next time don't get caught.
Yes. Me and George might be related.
George Shea, is there anything in your life that you have not been able to sell? Is there anything you're the ultimate salesman?
Listen, I do a lot of real estate PR. I have a straight PR firm, and I'm having trouble selling some real estate stories. So maybe if you guys know any reporters, but in the world of competitive eating, it sells itself.
Right, as you said, it's akin to the original Olympics.
It absolutely is, and people know that intuitively.
I agree. And would you have any advice? We're way long here on the break, but I just it's hard for me to break free from George Shea's orbit. He's the sun, and I'm a satellite. I'm a satellite spinning in his orbit. Would you give any advice to the Alliance of American Football or say Vince McMahon for the XFL? All these startup leagues that start and then fail. How long has Major League Eating been around?
Well, you know, formally for about 30 years. Let me tell you this about. The football. The great question, and I know I could be really quick. The great question is there an appetite for additional football, or is it like good to have that limit on it, and is there too much within that regular season? There's all kinds of dialogue. But Vince McMahon is a genius, and I have enormous respect for him because what WWE is, it's all about narrative, and they play it out differently than I do, but it's all about fundamental narrative that humans are hardwired for narrative. He knows that. He's built a billion-dollar business. So I trust his judgment, and I think they're going in big and long. So I have a lot of faith that they could make that happen.
All right. Well, there you go. George Shea, the commissioner of Major League Eating, and up until this 30-30 comes out, an American treasure. But we'll revisit that after the...
You got me, George. Nothing I can see will take me away, George.
Nathan's Famous hosts a Florida qualifier for their famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest. It's tomorrow, 5 p.m. at Marlins Park. Can people still register to get in on that?
No. The actual seats are closed, but anyone can go watch it.
Okay. And I watched it last year, and I'm telling you, it is something to behold. Again, I thought it was a horror show. I now believe it was art, some of the finest art that I've ever seen. Elegance, I believe, is the adjective or word that George Shea used earlier. So the top male and female finisher tomorrow night at Marlins Park, they will get a seat on the stage at Nathan's Famous 4th of July International Hot Dog Eating Contest in Coney Island. It'll be on ESPN, and they will be facing off against the likes of Joey Chestnut and Mickey Sudo. Do they also, the champions, have to qualify, or they get an automatic bye?
No, they get a bye.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. It's been a true pleasure, George.
Okay. Have a great weekend, all of you.
And you do the same.
Okay.
It really is. It's just, I don't know what to say after that. It's like a religious experience. On this very religious weekend, it's like the religion of George Shea and competitive eating. It sucks me in. Had to play this quickly because on this day in 1987, The Simpsons premiered. Well, it wasn't a TV show. It was just a little short during the Tracy Ullman show on Fox. It was like a little cartoon snippet that they would air during the Tracy Ullman show.
Really?
And it was so popular, they gave it its own show, still running to this day.
That's wild.
Crazy. 5 o'clock hour in Hockman Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. It's been a loaded potato of a program. And we went very long with George Shea there in the last segment. But as someone texted in, this dude is an orator. He can talk, man. I just love it. I love it. So we were talking, obviously, with food, with George about food, and we haven't even had time to talk about Blaze Pizza today, which is something that you need to do, and I love Blaze Pizza. So as we're all hungry now because of George Shea, go ahead and tell us a little bit about Blaze Pizza.
It is delicious. People think I own the one in Davie. I'm there so much. They think I work there. Guys, the Blaze Pizza, you got to get over and check out the artisanal pies that are fast and affordable. They're always right around $8, and you get to customize your menu signature pizzas, which are delicious, or create your own Blaze Pizza. 40 high-quality ingredients. You get to pick as many as you want, unlimited toppings, and it's always right around $8. They have pepperoni, sausage, mushrooms, all the old-school toppings that you've had since you were a kid, but the unique options is what I love. Roasted garlic, applewood smoked bacon, fresh arugula, jalapenos. That is my signature pizza. You make your own, and the scratch-made dough sets it off. Made in-house daily. The pizzas are fast-fired in an open flame oven. You sit and watch your pizza cook. It's ready in about 3 minutes. Blaze offers gluten-free dough and vegan cheese. Freshly made salads are delicious. The garlic donuts are incredible. Get a s'more pie for dessert, and they also have a great selection of craft beer and wine. You got to stop by one of Blaze's 7 South Florida locations. You can order online at blazepizza.com, but do yourself a favor. You will thank me later. Get the Blaze Pizza app. It's easy to order your pizza. It'll be ready when you get there, and you can start earning rewards such as free pizza, and you never have to worry about lunch again. I have a place and a deal for you. Monday through Friday until 4 p.m., any half pizza with unlimited toppings for just $5. You are welcome. There goes your lunch plans forever. Scratch made dough, plus unlimited toppings, plus a blazing hot oven equals fast fire, perfectly crisp perfection, and that's only at Blaze Pizza.
Yeah, very good. It made me hungry, just as hungry as George Shea made me. And I happen to love Blaze Pizza as well.
It's at least one day a week.
What a week of shows we had. Yes. Did we not have fun this week?
It flew past.
It was crazy. George Shea was excellent. I could talk to that guy for hours. Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler, he was on with us today. Ira Winderman, normally a headliner. He got stuck in the middle.
Clay, and was upset.
Clay Ferraro from Local 10 was on with us. Dan Day did a great job filling in for Eric Falero.
Two words for you. loaded potato.
It was a loaded potato of a week.
Okay, damn.
Dan Day did a fantastic job filling in for Falero, who is playing in his church band right now, Good Friday Services. What? He's a good keyboard player. Why are you laughing?
I'm not.
Why? You are laughing. You can't say I'm not when you're obviously laughing.
He's just a grown man.
He's playing in his church band.
But he has a job and he's a grown up.
He took a day off. He gets days off.
You know. I don't know.
I'm not hating on him playing in his
I was laughing at
band.
Something I heard.
No,
earlier.
You are not. Absolutely not.
I'm here for you, Hawk and Crowder.
We appreciate it, Dan.
My man, Dan.
So, everybody have a great Passover if you celebrate Passover. Great Easter if you celebrate Easter. And I think that's going to do it for us for the week. Greg Likens is coming your way next at 6 o'clock. We were just talking with him during the commercial break, so he's got a lot planned for you. That'll do it for us. We will speak with you el lunes.
Gotta give me a new bag.
Talked yesterday. Crowder asked me, would I rather have a threesome or hit a three-team parlay? And it's not even a question for me. I want to hit that three-team parlay.